This is Conor Lennon from UN News in Salt Lake City, USA, reporting on the 68th UN Civil Society Partnership, described by the UN as the premier event in the UN Civil Society calendar. NGOs and organizations from over 100 countries are represented here in Utah to discuss solutions to some of the most pressing global issues, including climate action, human rights, education, and the involvement of young people. The main theme of this year's event is inclusive cities and communities. I caught up with Marusha Kadama, Secretary General of the Partnership on Sustainable Low Carbon Transport and chairperson of the conference, and I started by asking her why the UN needs to forge closer links with civil society.
Well, I think really we cannot conceive a United Nations that is talking about the challenges and the opportunities of humankind in this century that relate to that sustainability paradigm that we're trying to achieve and not do it with civil society. It's a radical change at this new paradigm of sustainability that is going to actually force us to do things completely different to what we've been doing in the past, putting on equal foot economic, environmental and social concerns, thinking differently, acting differently, connecting these three areas together. And that's going to be a behavioral change. It's going to be an educational change. It's going to be a change in how we go about policy making and how we go about business. So all that really requires bringing together civil society in there and that common vision and going one step at a time in a just transition.
And can you give me some specific examples of what that change has meant on the ground?
Well, I mean, think about business models. Think about, for instance, in the area of mobility, which is an area where I practice my day-to-day life. We are actually trying to get people out of the private ownership of cars. And in some developing countries, that can be sometimes perceived as infringing on their right to development. So how are we going to create business models for the industry of mobility to make sure that those who have been manufacturing cars in a certain way, in a certain type of car over the years, can still remain in the business of mobility and perhaps manufacture cars differently, cars which are low emission, or move from car manufacturing to public transport vehicles manufacturing, or get more efficiency in the vehicles and in the fuels that are being used. That is, for instance, an example. Another example is like, how do we educate people? How do curricula reflect the Sustainable Development Goals paradigm and this idea about thinking really economics, environment and social together? What is it that we are teaching, for instance, urban planners, since we are at a conference that is about cities, isn't it? How do we make sure that urban planners realize that the shape of cities, the way in which you plan a city, is critical to locking in certain segregation and exclusion patterns, or to actually providing, for instance, infrastructure that lasts over the years and has got important notions of social cohesion and opens doors for integration?
So we're getting two messages, really. We're getting one message, which is that, as you said, in some situations, cities can create inequality and exacerbate inequality. At the same time, we're hearing that it's in cities that you get the most pragmatic leaders who are able to affect positive change. Do you think that we are moving in the right direction?
We have to remain optimists because they are possible. We are not talking about things that are not possible, and humankind has actually done other things in the past that were more difficult than what we're trying to achieve. Now, I think that is very inspirational to see how what in the United Nations is called subnational governments, so local governments, regional governments, municipal governments, many times are bolder than what the national governments can be. And why? Well, because they are really the first tier of government directly engaging and interacting with civil society. They are the very, very, very first front row of what the civil society is demanding and what the new generations are doing, marching on the streets for climate action and marching on the streets for social cohesion. And perhaps what we need to examine in general in the 21st century and within the multilateralism system that the United Nations represents is how do we better enable the work that these subnational governments do? What type of frameworks of governance, of decentralization of powers, what type of institutional frameworks, of financial frameworks do we need to really unleash this potential that some national governments have got? Just to put it into perspective with a fact and some figures, some of the small and medium-sized cities in Africa, which are where the bulk of that urban transformation is happening and will continue happening in the next couple of decades, are having a few dollars per capita per annum to develop on services that, according to SDG 11, have to be universal, affordable, and for everybody. SDG 11 on cities and human settlements, making them safe, resilient, inclusive and sustainable. So how can we go about that? How can we really better empower local governments to fulfill those SDGs, which at the end of the day are for them really to be delivered and to be achieved, and are for them to be accountable to the civil society that are requiring that right and that responsibility.
There's a great atmosphere. A lot of young people are here who seem very engaged. But are we really engaged in a talking shop, or do you think that real actions are going to come out of this?
Well, I mean, I think... It's not because I'm an optimist, but I do really think that these real actions are going to come out. I've seen people engaging in conversations that were very much actions and solutions. Yesterday we conducted the first town hall that was discussing the outcome of the conference. So there'll be a Salt Lake City outcome that is going to look into affirming what are the values and the commitments that we actually need to put together in order to deliver on sustainable and inclusive cities and communities. And another part of that Salt Lake City outcome is about trying to empower and inspire individual and collective action by all of us as individuals, but also by civil society organizations and governments. And I can tell you, Connor, it was really inspirational to see this very room with people pledging and sharing ideas of what is it that they can do individually to support in their community that notion of sustainable and inclusive cities. So I really think that the wealth and the richness of the different sectors that have gathered here, thanks to the massive amount of delegates that we're gathering these days here, is going to hopefully equip a lot of people to go back home with fresh ideas, solutions, and the sufficient energy to make this happen in their daily lives.